Acts chapter 2, verse 1. We'll just read one verse of scripture for now. I'm so glad that you're here with us today. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. The day of Pentecost was fully come. I want to talk to you today on the subject, preparing for Pentecost. And if you happen to be standing in honor of the Word of God, you may be seated. Next Sunday, May 31st, 2020, is Pentecost Sunday. And we are excited that Pentecost Sunday will be our first in-person service since Sunday, March 15th. You've seen the announcement and all the details that are the requirements of coming to church. And Brother Jury mentioned this earlier. And we'll let registration go on Tuesday. And there are certainly lots of limitations to that. But we want to prepare our church, not just the physical plant, but we want to prepare our hearts for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost on Pentecost Sunday. In preparation for this great celebration of the Spirit of the church, our general superintendent, Brother David Bernard, will be ministering this coming Wednesday night on the subject of the 20th century outpouring of the Holy Ghost. He will trace it back to its origins in the book of Acts and probably bring us through this modern era and era now. But I'm so grateful that Brother Bernard took the time to pre-record the message that we will watch on Wednesday on Pentecost. With his busy schedule, Brother Bernard, thank you. And I want to encourage you to not miss church this coming Wednesday night at 7:30, and make sure you have someone watching with you. We will also archive his message in a special new category on our website called Essentials. So don't miss this. And I'm saying that because it is part of my message today that I want us to prepare our hearts for Pentecost. Now, I was born into a home where my mom and dad had both come into Pentecost. My dad was in his early 20s, just out of when the Lord filled him with the gift of the Holy Ghost. But I was raised in a Pentecostal church. However, I was not raised in an area where there were very many Pentecostal people at all. I vividly remember in grade school, junior high back then, and senior high school, or at work, if I mentioned and we were talking about religion, and they might say, "Well, Daryl, where do you go to church?" And I would say, "I go to a Pentecostal church." And invariably, my friends would say, "What's that?" Or they would say, "Penta what?" They honestly did not even know what the word was, where it came from, much less what it meant. And, you know, Pentecost is a Bible word. It's not something that we pulled out of the air to name our church. It, of course, is named for that day that was an ancient Jewish feast day that God chose as a day when he would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. But even in our culture today, as widespread as Pentecostalism is in the world, the fastest growing religious movement in the world, there are still people who do not understand Pentecost or what it means. While I was thinking about this, you know, if I would have really been secure in myself, I should have asked my friends, "Where did you get your church name?" But by a method, by a presbyter, by some Episcopal person, where did you get that name? But we all have these names for religion. But I'm thankful that Pentecost is tied to the day when God from heaven poured his Spirit out on all flesh. It was the fulfillment of what the Old Testament prophet Joel said, "In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." It was what Jeremiah prophesied about when the Lord said, I will write my law in their hearts. With a stammering lip and another tongue will I speak to these people, Isaiah said. Pentecost. Now, as little as people may know about the word Pentecost, throughout Christianity, everybody who reads their Bible knows that the day of Pentecost is the birthday of the Christian church. There's really no debate on that subject. It was on the day that Pentecost had fully come as an ancient Jewish feast day, and the fulfillment of all those Old Testament promises of God, that the church of Jesus Christ was born. He had purchased the church with his blood, but it was birthed by his Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Now, I mentioned that the Old Testament prophets had spoken of the Spirit to come, but John the Baptist, that forerunner of Jesus Christ who prepared the way of the Lord, John said, and he came early before Jesus, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I. I'm not worthy to even carry his shoes. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. In the ministry of Jesus, he said, I will give you another comforter, and he will abide with you forever. He said it would be the Spirit of truth. Jesus said that this Spirit of truth is dwelling with you. He was referring to himself, God in flesh, the man Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am dwelling with you, but I shall be in you. He said in John 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. In Luke 24, at the moment of the ascension of Jesus Christ, he told them that all these things that have happened to me, my death, my burial, my resurrection, these are the things that were written in Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. He was referring to the prophetic utterances of the Old Testament. Psalms like 22 that spoke of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, everything that was written in the Old Testament was written of me, and it was fulfilled in my death, in my burial, and my resurrection. And then he opened their understanding that they could understand all of the purpose of the Old Testament scriptures that pointed ahead to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, Luke 24:46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he said, you are witnesses of these things. Look at Luke 24:49 with me. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Jesus said, I'm going to send back my Spirit, but you need to be ready for it. You need to prepare your hearts for Pentecost. So go back to the city of Jerusalem and wait there until you are filled, until you are endued with power from on high. Luke said he led them out as far as Bethany. He blessed them, and he was parted from them and went up into heaven. These were the last words of Jesus Christ before he ascended into heaven, as recorded by Luke. And then Luke's writings segue into the book of Acts, which was also written by Luke the physician. Acts is a sequel to the book of Luke. It opens that way. And Jesus tells them in Acts 1 and 4 that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Let me pause here to make a note. There are many people that wonder why Pentecostals make such a big deal out of the gift of the Holy Ghost that comes to a person when they speak with other tongues. Jesus called this the promise of the Father. This is everything that God was working toward that he was ready to do. He said, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence, not many days from now. In other words, no one up until this time had ever received the gift of the Holy Ghost as prophesied by Joel and Isaiah and Jeremiah. Men and women were moved on by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was not going to be different in its kind, but it would be different in dimension. It had never been received like this, not many days from now. Well, then they asked him, Lord, is this when you're going to restore the kingdom to us? And he said, it's not for you to know this. The Lord has put these times and seasons in his own power. But then I want you to see what Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he spoke these things, he was parted from them up into heaven. It was again the Acts version, the rendering of Jesus ascending up into heaven. So I want you to see so far what I've tried to lay as a foundation of preparing your heart for Pentecost. John said it is coming. Jesus said it is coming. Jesus said go back to Jerusalem and wait there until. Do not leave Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And Jesus said, when it comes, you're going to receive power, and it will be a power to be a witness unto me in all of the world. But you cannot be a powerful witness until you have the power. The word in the Greek is dunamis, the dynamite of the Holy Ghost living inside of you. I want you to see today that Pentecost is not just a past historical event. Pentecost is a power that Jesus promised to his disciples. Pentecost is not locked in the dusty pages of some ancient history book. Pentecost is alive and well in us and in the world. I was 8 years old when I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. I had been taught it from my earlier childhood that you could receive it, that it was something more substantial than just turning from your sins, just accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. I was a pretty good church kid, but I remember that night when I opened my heart to God. And instead of making it so hard, I was praying so hard to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Someone told me to just relax and let God fill me. And I guess I finally got it through my 8-year-old thick head that you couldn't earn it, that the Holy Ghost was a gift. I vividly remember standing there raising my hands and speaking in a language that I had never learned for the very first time. I don't know why I remember this, but I do remember that I started praying at one end of an altar bench. And when I kind of quit praying, I had moved all the way down. I guess I kind of scooted as I prayed. That's how vivid that moment is locked into my mind, even to this day. But Pentecost is not just something that happened to me when I was 8 years old. It is not just something that happened on the day of Pentecost over 2,000 years ago. It is something that is alive in my soul today and in your heart and mind today. And even as we were worshiping the Lord earlier in this service, I began to worship God, and the Holy Spirit came on me, and I spoke in tongues again, as I do often. The Holy Ghost is something that you should keep alive in you, and you should always keep your heart prepared as a sanctuary for the Holy Spirit of God. Preparing for Pentecost. You see, the Holy Ghost is not just some random experience that falls out of the sky on an unsuspecting person. As Samuel taught, you have to prepare your heart to the Lord. No one is prepared to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost naturally. We were all shapen in sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our sins have separated us from God. So when we prepare our hearts for Pentecost, then Pentecost will come to us. Now I want you to see the example that God set in the Old Testament with this day of Pentecost, this feast day of Pentecost. So let me give you just a little history. Pentecost was a Jewish festival that occurred 50 days after the Passover. It was on Passover that the Lord delivered his people Israel out of Egyptian bondage. The word literally means that the death angel passed over their house because the blood of a lamb was applied to the doorpost, the lintel. Their house was covered by the blood. 50 days after that great feast was the Feast of Pentecost. The prefix Penta means 50 or 50th. So that's where the word derives its name. 50 days after the Passover. It was the second of the great Jewish national festivals. The Jews were to count 7 weeks plus a day and celebrate this Feast of Weeks. It is called the Feast of Weeks in some places in the Old Testament. 3 times a year, every Jewish male was required to appear before the Lord at Passover, at Pentecost, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. Pentecost was prescribed. It was expected. It was not negotiable. Every Jewish man had to show up for Pentecost. It was the first of the two agrarian or agricultural festivals, and it was to signify the completion of the barley harvest. About this time, this was when most of the wheat harvest had been gathered in, 7 weeks plus a day after Passover. It was a tremendous festival to be celebrated for everyone. It required some preparation. They had to present 2 loaves of leavened bread, not unleavened bread, but bread with yeast, salted bread unto the Lord. And the size of each loaf was prescribed in the Bible. Leviticus 23:17 in the New Living Translation that converts weights and measures to the way we would read them. Make these loaves from 4 quarts of choice flour and bake them with yeast, and make them an offering to the Lord. Later Jewish writers were very detailed in the minute instructions of preparing for this feast of Pentecost. Leviticus 23 that introduces us to the Feast of Pentecost tells us that there are other sacrifices that were prescribed at Pentecost. 7 one-year-old male lambs and other sacrifices that were to be offered to the Lord. This was a permanent law for them forever. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, there is more information given about the Feast of Pentecost. Moses said, count 7 weeks. This is the same festival. And keep this Feast of Weeks. And it will be a freewill offering from your hand. And you will rejoice. I wanted to go to Deuteronomy to make this very important point about Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, in Acts chapter 2, every Jewish person, whether they were inclined toward Christianity tonight, was prepared for Pentecost. They had their leavened bread with salt down to the detail. They had their sacrifices ready. But then there was a mood of Pentecost. It wasn't a solemn assembly. It was a celebration. It was a party called Pentecost. The Lord said, you're going to rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter, everyone who works for you in your house. And you're going to bring the stranger that is inside your gates, the Gentiles that are living around you. And you're going to bring the widows and the fatherless. This door of Pentecost is open to everyone. It has its sacrifices, but it is different from the unleavened bread of the Passover. This is something that is enjoyable. It is a celebration that should go on throughout all of your generations. And then Moses said in Deuteronomy 16:12, and you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt. I think it is important that every time a Pentecostal filled with the Spirit feels the presence of God, that we should remind ourselves that we have not always been free from sin. We've not always been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. There was a time in our lives when we were down and out, when we were deep in sin. But by the mercy of the Lord, it was Christ, our Passover, who was sacrificed for us. And it was at Pentecost that the Lord set us free and empowered us with the Holy Ghost. That was the preparation for Old Testament Pentecost, that festival of Pentecost. That celebration didn't just pop up out of nowhere, but it involved a lot of preparation for Pentecost. Now, that brings me to my mission today and our mission as believers this week. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. And just because it will roll around on the calendar doesn't mean that Pentecost will happen like it did in the book of Acts, chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. You see, Pentecost is the power of God that we receive when we are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is God's power that we continually renew in our lives. And it is important that we prepare our hearts for Pentecost. Earlier in this service, we were all called to 3 days of prayer and fasting, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Brother Bernard will be teaching us online on Wednesday night, and we will be humbling our hearts before the Lord. You see, when Jesus came into this world, he did not just come alone by himself, but first he sent John the Baptist. The Bible said that John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Lord. Before the world could receive Jesus, and I know many rejected him, but for everyone who received him and received the power of God, they had to prepare their hearts. So God sent John the Baptist. He was a rough-hewn preacher. He preached a very direct message. The axe is laid at the root of the tree. And every tree that does not bring forth good fruit is going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. He asked some religious people, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You're a generation of vipers. He was a hard preacher. But he preached a message of repentance that smote the hearts of the people. He emptied the cities as people came out to where he was baptizing, and they were baptized under repentance by John the Baptist there. In the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 40, and then quoted by Luke in Luke chapter 3. The Bible said that John the Baptist came in the wilderness and he went to the region around Jordan preaching the baptism of repentance. And then Luke quotes Isaiah and gives us the mission of John the Baptist. He's the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough way smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." I want you to entertain with me the mission of John the Baptist in your own heart. John came to prepare the way of the Lord. And my message today is a call to prepare our hearts for the Lord, for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, not just on Pentecost Sunday, but we're celebrating this day as a target day. In the foyer of this church, we still have not quite 100, but we have over 90 jars ready to be filled with oil. And I believe that God will fill people with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and we will celebrate their conversion, their salvation, by seeing oil flow into a jar as the oil of the Holy Ghost flows in their hearts. But before that happens, we've got to prepare the way of the Lord. John came, he was like a divine road paver. Literally, that's the imagery, who is getting a highway ready for a king to come. So you've got to make his path straight. If there's anything crooked, you've got to make them straight. Isaiah said, Luke quoted it, every valley is going to be filled, all the low places of depression and sin and darkness, they've got to come up. Every mountain and hill is going to be brought low. All the pride, all the high-mindedness, everything that makes you think you're too good, that you don't need God. John came to make all the crooked places straight. That's why we need to repent of our sin, our selfishness. We need to turn to God with all of our hearts and prepare for Pentecost. John came to make the rough ways smooth, and then the Bible said all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. So I am calling this church, Atlanta West Pentecostal Church, to a week of preparation of our hearts for the Lord. We'll be preparing our campus for people, but that doesn't concern me nearly as much as preparing our hearts for the Lord. You see, on the day of Pentecost, the preaching of the Apostle Peter brought conviction. The King James, Acts chapter 2, verse 37. When they heard the preaching of Peter, the Bible said, they were pricked in their heart. There was a stabbing of conviction, the reality of sin, the recognition that they were culpable for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles who were standing there with him, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" We realize that we are sinners, and we realize that our sins have separated us from God. And now your preaching, Apostle Peter, has helped us see that Jesus Christ was the Messiah of Old Testament prophecy, that he died, was buried, and rose again. He's ascended, and he has sent back his power that was received on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter preached this message to tell them how to get ready to receive the Holy Ghost. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Repent. Make an about face on your life. Repentance, that word in the Bible, means a change of mind. It's applied to a change of mind and heart and life direction, away from sin and toward God. If there's any sin in your life today, I know if we say we have no sin, we're a liar. The truth is not in us. But I also know that if we will confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So today I am calling you, whether you're a longtime saint of God or you're hearing a message on Pentecost for the very first time, I'm calling you to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. We're going to repent together in just a moment. The Apostle Peter said, repent and then be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Repentance identifies you with the death of Jesus Christ. And baptism identifies you with the burial of Jesus Christ. So when we're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we take His name on, we die to our old life. There's a line of demarcation that separates our past from our future. And then when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, we rise to walk in the newness of life. And let me assure you, you don't have to wait till Pentecost Sunday comes to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you want someone to pray with you right now, if you will email us at prayer@awpc.org, someone will pray with you right now. Maybe someone is in your home that will pray with you to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So right now, together, gathered in our homes as a local church, and friends watching online, let's ask Jesus Christ. Let's come to an altar, a place of death together, and let's repent of our sins. Dear Lord, I come in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we anticipate an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, but we know, Lord, that before that happens, our hearts must be prepared. So I'm asking you right now in Jesus' name to forgive me of all my sins. I pray, Lord, like I did as an 8-year-old boy, and as I have many times since then, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me, Lord, for attitudes that were not reflective of You. Forgive me, Lord, for actions, Jesus, that were ungodly. Forgive me, Lord, for words spoken that were like daggers. Forgive me, God, for behaviors that were sinful. If you're bound by addiction right now, if you will ask Jesus to forgive you, if you will confess your sins and forsake your sins, He will give you a power right now that will break the power of sin so that you can continue your pursuit of God. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me right now, Lord. Amen. I cannot baptize you online, but a believer can baptize you in a swimming pool, in a deep bathtub, or you can come to Atlanta West and we will safely baptize you in Jesus' name. And you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost today. But we're preparing for Pentecost. And next Sunday, we're believing that God is going to pour out His Spirit in the house and in every house represented online. Would you continue to pray? And would you come to an altar? If you're tired of sin, will you let Jesus Christ forgive you today?